Chapter 24, Some Questions for Biblians and Christians. Opening Questions. Should a sincere person who is seeking to understand Joshua of Nazareth use Joshua's own words and deeds to understand him, or other people's opinions to understand him? Who understood Joshua best, Paul and the other New Testament writers, or Joshua himself? Who understood Joshua best, Moses and the other Hebrew scripture authors, or Joshua himself? Who understood the Creator better, those who had never been with the Creator, or the one who was with the Creator and sent from the Creator? If God exists and he wants humans to know him, so he can help us, and so we can know what he wants for us, would it not be of primary importance to know how to accomplish that? Most Christians and all Biblians claim that the person needs the Bible as the source of knowledge to know God. They are only partially correct, and their understanding of the Bible is wholly incorrect. They are partially correct because the light we need to know God has been placed, or his words have been placed or hidden in the Bible in four small books. They are wholly incorrect in thinking that the authors of the other 62 books of the Protestant Bible had correct insight and understanding of God. The simple truth is that all authors of the Bible's books did not have a full or correct understanding of our Creator Father. We can know that because the light tells us so. It is also a simple truth that there was one man who did have a full and correct understanding of God, and he is the subject of the four gospel books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was not the author of the books, but rather the authors were with him and saw him and knew him, or knew those who were with him and knew him, and wrote down what he said and did in those four books. Many Biblians and Christians are very offended when a disciple of the light says that we only listen to the light to understand our Father. They are offended because our belief contradicts their belief about a very important thing: how we can know God and what God wants of us. The basic error of Biblians, and most Christians are Biblians, is to believe that the 66 authors of the Protestant Bible and their writings, views, statements, and opinions about God were all equally truthful and revealing about God as the person and words of Joshua or Jesus of Nazareth. They believe this because Biblians believe Paul's scripture beliefs, and thus they look to the scripture to understand God instead of to Joshua of Nazareth. In contrast and contradiction to Paul, Joshua says, look to him and him alone to know and understand God. The quotes below will verify this claim. In other words, the Biblians or Christians use Paul's teachings to nullify the plain teachings of the light of the world. Ironically, Paul's saying in 2 Timothy 3, quote, all scripture is inspired by God, unquote, does not address what would later be called the New Testament, but is constrained to the Hebrew scripture, as the rest of the context makes clear. Please note that Joshua could easily and certainly have told his original disciples that a book would be compiled one day that would reveal and represent God. The fact is, not only did he not say that, but he said many things contrary to that, as we will see in a moment. It is very clever to hide the four eyewitness recordings of Joshua's life and teachings, the four books that contain Joshua's words, teachings, and truths, in a large book, which book contains many statements that contradict Joshua's teachings and statements. To then say that that book is, quote, God's word, unquote, to mankind completes the clever deception. It is difficult for people to distinguish between the book Bible at this point and the subject of the four gospel books, which books have been placed in the larger book, the Bible. However, as I try and remind people regularly, Joshua is not the Bible and his words alone, not all the other authors of the Bible and their opinions about God, are the words that lead to life. Biblians and Christians looking to defend their Bible belief against the person and words of Joshua of Nazareth often ask, but where do you read Jesus' words from? Of course, they want me to say, the Bible. The simple truth is that I have access to the words and deeds of the historical person of Joshua of Nazareth from the four gospel books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which four books were placed in the compiled book people call the Bible. To make the distinction clear to the Biblian, I make the following argument. Point one, I inform the Biblian that I recently published a book that contains the four gospel books. Point two, I ask the Biblian, if I hand my book to someone, are they able to get to know Jesus of Nazareth by reading my book? The answer, of course, is yes. Of course, some Biblians will argue that a person needs the rest of the Bible to know Jesus, but that is a fallacious argument from two perspectives. First, that the original source is always best when trying to understand an issue related to the original source. Second, Joshua of Nazareth himself says that people ought to look only to him to understand him and the Father he said he represents. Conclusion, or point three, my final question is my book the Bible? The answer, of course, is no, thus proving that the Bible is not necessary to hear from and get to know the one who says, quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, one does not need the Bible in order to get to know the historical person of Jesus or Joshua of Nazareth. So, for you Biblians and most Christians, I ask that instead of condemning me, you use reason well to answer the following questions in a simple, straightforward manner. Joshua says, quote, if you continue in my word, or teachings and truths, then you are my disciple, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Unquote. That's John 8. Whose words are going to set someone free in that saying? Paul's? Moses's? Contemporary preachers? Bible college professors? Popular authors or theologians? The scriptures? The Bible? Point two, by definition, to be a disciple, student, or pupil of Joshua of Nazareth means he is our master, and thus he alone defines what is true and real regarding God's spiritual things in human nature. He says, if we continue in his words, no one else's, only, then we are his disciple, student, or pupil, which makes perfect sense. And by continuing only in his words, a person will be set free. Thus, if we listen to other teachings and continue in other teachings, why would we think we will be set free? Point three, all of the truth somebody needs to be set free is contained in the person and words of Joshua of Nazareth. So why would you be looking to others if you want to be set free? Stated another way, who or what else can set you free? The Bible, with all the God-justified fear and hatred and violence? How exactly can a book containing hundreds of core-level contradictions about God set a person free? Point four, his word includes love your enemies, a clear principle for ordering our lives. So, for all of you Biblians, when you say, oh, but the Bible says, and you turn to some other author or voice to try and convince a disciple that Jesus is Father, or if you are a Trinitarian, that Jesus himself really does kill his enemies, using the hundreds of examples from the Hebrew scripture to back you up, passages like 1 Samuel 15:1-3, we ask you to please be set free from rejecting the light and ignoring or nullifying the light's teaching of love your enemies. Next saying of Joshua, quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, unquote. That's John 14. Who, point number one, who or what is the way? Paul's? Moses's? Contemporary preachers? Bible college professors? Popular authors or theologians? The scriptures? The Bible? Point two, who or what is the truth? Paul? Moses? Contemporary preachers, Bible college professors, popular authors or theologians, the scriptures or the Bible? Who or what is the life? Paul, Moses, contemporary preachers, Bible college professors, popular authors or theologians, the scriptures, the Bible? Point four. So if Joshua plainly says that he, faith in him as he reveals himself by his own words in the four gospels, is the sure way home, all the truth that matters, and life everlasting, then why would you look to other sources for God understanding? Point five. So, when you stand before the king and he asks, Why did you listen to all those other voices, many of which nullified or contradicted my voice? What are you going to say? Oh, Lord, they did not nullify or contradict your voice. So you are going to rebuke the king about his wrong understanding on this matter? Or, oh, well, Lord, where is Paul? He will explain it all to you. Poor Lord Jesus needs Paul to explain God understandings to him. Saying number three, quote, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice, unquote, John chapter 18. Hears whose voice? Paul? Moses's? Contemporary preachers? Bible college professors? Popular author or theologians? The scriptures? The Bible? Point two, if I am not of the truth or don't care about what is true regarding God things, perhaps I will want to listen to other voices. And if I don't hear his voice, then am I, quote, of the truth, unquote. And if I listen to other voices, then am I not at risk for being deceived? For he does say, quote, many will come in my name and deceive many, unquote. Point three, if a disciple repeats a word, teaching, or truth of the light, and the person who hears it reacts negatively to it and rejects it because it contradicts one of their religious beliefs, is that person, quote, of the truth, unquote. Next saying, Joshua says the following, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, unquote. That's John 8. Follows who? Paul, Moses, contemporary preachers, Bible college professor, popular author or theologian, the scriptures, the Bible? Point two, who is the light of the world? Paul, Moses, contemporary preachers, Bible college professors, popular author or theologian, the scriptures, the Bible? Point three, if I follow Paul, for he does say, quote, imitate me, in 1 Corinthians 4 and Philemon 3, for example, or anyone else, then will I not walk in the darkness? Point four, does Joshua teach that we should follow others instead of or in addition to him himself? No, he does not. If in, quote, following Joshua, unquote, we make him our master, how many masters can a man have in one domain? Joshua says no one can serve two masters in Matthew chapter 6, and the context is God understanding or the God domain. Point six, if I am following the light as he reveals himself by his own words, am I not doing well? And if I am doing well in that regard, why would you want to condemn me? Point seven, would following him include believing that the Father that Jesus reveals kills people, including thousands of, quote, women, children, and babies, as is found in 1 Samuel 15:1 through 3, for example, when Jesus plainly teaches, quote, love your enemies, unquote, and, quote, God so loved the people of the earth, unquote. Does not Jesus speak for the Father? Does not believing that Jesus' Father murders people prove that I, quote, walk in the darkness, unquote? Next saying, Joshua says, quote, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day, unquote. That's John chapter 12. The word who spoke? Paul, Moses, contemporary preacher, Bible college professor, popular author or theologian, the Bible, the scripture? Does not receive whose sayings? Paul's, Moses's, contemporary preacher, popular pastor, or the Bible's? Well, point number three, were Paul or Moses or anyone else's words judge us at the last day? If not, why listen to them regarding what it takes to pass judgment? Are they going to improve upon the sinless one's teachings? Are they saying superior things to Joshua's sayings? Point number four, Joshua says, quote, love your enemies, unquote, and Joshua says that he is speaking the Father's words, and logic proves that perfect beings do not change. When you believe the author of 1 Samuel, who says Jesus' father said, quote, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel. Now, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt, now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey, unquote. That's 1 Samuel 15. Are you not rejecting Joshua's plain saying of love your enemies? Or are you going to do the theological dance and play the lawyer and deceive yourself into believing there is no contradiction? Next saying of Joshua. Joshua says, quote, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, unquote. That's Matthew 24. Whose words? Paul's? Moses's? Contemporary preachers? Bible college professor? Popular author or theologian? The scripture? The Bible? Point number two. So if my words mean the words of Joshua of Nazareth, which it surely does, then why would you think that others' words will not pass away? Point number three. Who else in the Bible makes that claim? And even if they made it, who else defeated death to prove that what they said and did was true? Point four. If I listen to, memorize, and take to heart, etc., words of people other than Joshua of Nazareth, then am I not hanging on to that which will pass away? How will that which will pass away help those who do not pass away? Next saying of Joshua, quote, blessed are the meek and humble, unquote. That's Matthew chapter 5. Paul says, quote, since many boast according to the flesh, I will boast also. But in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness, I am just as bold myself. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. Unquote. So, it doesn't make sense that an admission to speaking or writing foolishly takes away the wrongness of speaking or writing foolishly. Number one, can I boast and at the same time be meek and humble? Number two, would God inspire words of boasting, conceit, arrogance, or other such words or teachings? Number three, would speaking or writing foolishness be inspired by God? Next saying of Joshua. The father says, quote, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him, unquote. That's Matthew 17. Point number one. So will the Heavenly Father be upset or displeased with a person because they do this? They only listen to Joshua? Are you aware of the Father ever speaking audibly from his dimension at any other time in history to tell us to listen to anyone else? Point number two. Can you explain to me why our Father would be upset or displeased with a person because they have made his Son their sole standard for knowing him? Why God would be upset by having made Joshua as one's master, and master by definition means we don't look to anyone else to teach us about God? Please try and keep the sayings of the light above in mind when answering this. Point three. Also, can you explain why if a person listens only to, quote, the way, truth, and life, unquote, they would be displeasing to the Father? Point four. Can you provide me with a quote by Joshua to the effect of where he says something like, quote, listen to others to know and understand my Father, unquote. Point five. If our Father would not be upset or displeased with a person who listens only to Joshua to understand him, why are disciples like myself condemned by Biblians and Christians as heretics, cultics, and the like? Point six. Would heeding this saying, quote, many will come in my name and deceive many, unquote, be consistent with listening only to Joshua, who elsewhere says, quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life, unquote? Or would it be consistent with listening to many voices who claim to represent Joshua, like Paul and the millions of religious leaders and people who are like Paul? Point seven. For those who still cling to the Bible and the scripture, other than Joshua's words, please provide me with one quote from Joshua where he says something to the effect of, quote, listen to the Hebrew prophets in order to understand and know me and my Father, unquote. And if you find it, how it can be reconciled with, quote, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and me, Joshua of Nazareth, whom you have sent. Unquote. So, we have established that looking to the Bible instead of to the person and teachings of the light of the world is great error and seeks to perpetuate the great lie that people need more than Joshua of Nazareth to enter into and remain in the state of eternal life. In the next chapter, we'll take a look at the thing people call the gospel. Chapter summary. Reason and logic, using Joshua's sayings as the standard of truth for understanding God, conclude that Joshua stated that he, and now by extension his recorded words and deeds, was the best way to know and understand the Creator. Joshua plainly stated that he ought to be looked to in order to know and understand God, and that other people or sources should not be relied upon to understand God. Joshua plainly taught that eternal life was found in knowing him, not the Bible, and the Father he revealed by his own words and deeds as recorded in the four gospel books. Biblians Christians rely on several fallacies in order to attempt to defend their belief that the Bible is the word of God to humankind. Biblians and Christians reject reason and logic regarding God claims and instead go with their traditions, which traditions largely nullify the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth.